This is Jeremiah, and if you know Jeremiah, he was one of those very unhappy prophets. Some people call him as a weeping prophet, because in the beginning of his ministry, he had to say that, well, destruction is coming onto us. It's inevitable. And he's even telling the leaders that we have to accept it. We have to let us be conquered by this foreign force. And what he was saying is, in a way, that's what he had to accept it. People didn't like it. So he was the prophet who was beaten, imprisoned, put in a cistern, and actually probably kidnapped to go to Egypt against his own will. And this is kind of in the middle of Jeremiah. Yet, there is somewhat principle that he's revealing to us. Sometimes we feel that, you know, there is bad and, or, well, how do you say, unacceptable, unpleasant event coming to you. And sometimes it's inevitable. Well, for us, last year, it was the surgery for my daughter. She was only 2 and a half, and she had these teeth very decayed. Why? Because she's been loving mommy's milk too much. That the recommendation from the dentist was that after 10 months, when the teeth are starting to come out, you know, kind of stop mommy's milk, especially during the nighttime. But this girl was very, very insisting on it. So when mommy is sleeping, she pulls shirt up and she drinks. How can you stop that? Right? So mommy tried. Mommy put lemon on her breast, all kind of things on it. Of course, you know, edible, but some of them you don't even want to taste or smell. Joanne didn't care. She'll just, even sometimes mommy put on it a red mark and put an X on it. And she's smiling there. Joanne was scared about it like just a couple of hours. Then she realized it's just something that really doesn't hurt her. So she didn't care that either. So she was drinking mommy's milk every evening while sleeping until she was 2. So what happens? The teeth. And also she's born with a very weak teeth. I mean, if she was born with a strong one, may not have been that bad, but very weak one. So it was very visible when he was over 2, all the marks and then the dark side in all her teeth. So we took her to specialist and she was saying, in this case, we have to go on a surgery. 3 hours and a half, full, you know, in sedation. And, oh, we didn't like that at all. If there is any way we could avoid it, we might have chosen that way. But it seemed that that was the only way. Not only cost a lot of money, but a lot of energy, time, our emotions. And I was right there on the operation table. She was on it. And I was holding her hand until the last minute. It was not a pleasant thing at all. Now, if you see her smiling, she has a beautiful teeth, and people compliment about it. And we're saying, that's a very expensive one. Not just cost-wise, but also emotionally. But sometimes it is inevitable to accept what is coming, because this is a result of what happened before. The best way is to see what it is and take what's coming and make the best out of it for the future that may yield better result. And somehow, this weeping voice of Jeremiah is telling people that, boys, this is inevitable. It's coming. But there still is a way to make the best out of it. So, somehow, if you can listen to that voice and think about it. This is my first talk. But if you are to build a house, who among you love to build a house on sand? Probably none of you. And it is so obvious that I'm sure that all those ancient people never really built their houses on sand. But somehow, this story is so famous, I believe you all know about this story. Somehow, so obvious thing that we normally would choose to do is something that Jesus is saying, a way of being wise. Now, if you kind of see that and think about the other aspect that in our society that so many times you hear that if everybody lives by common sense, we'll have much better community. Right? If everybody observes the common sense as their rules of life and keeps it that way, then you agree that we'll have much, much better community. And common sense means something that we all agree upon. Just like there's a book very famous that everything that I need to learn about spirituality, I learned it when I was in kindergarten. So common sense means literally that it can be agreeable by 7, 6, 5 years old to all the way up. Now, our sadness is that we're not living like that. So, what's happening? Something that's so obviously understandable and acceptable and agreeable, yet something is happening that blinds our eyes, minds, hearts, that we choose against something we call common sense. There's a story in one of my favorite books, Zhuangzi. It's about, I think I told you once a while ago, 3 in the morning, 4 in the evening. Once upon a time ago, there was a monkey trainer. And each monkey were to eat 7 apples a day. So a new trainer came and he wanted to do something new. So he said, how about I give you 3 apples in the morning and 4 apples in the evening? Monkeys were very not happy about it. He said, okay, how about I give you 4 in the morning and 3 in the evening? Monkeys were very happy about it. Because they are to have 4 right now. But in a whole day, they were to eat 7 anyway. We talk about short-sighted or blinded by self-interest. So are we indeed better than these monkeys? That's my second question to you. I officiate quite a number of weddings and meet couples. And there's one couple that I just officiated their wedding not that long ago. In one of those researches that I have done, you know that divorce rate is quite high in America, in most, if not all, advanced countries. And something that's quite shocking to me is that one of the main causes of most divorce is something called expectation gap. There's a gap in what you expect and what you actually get. And this actually exists between parents and children, between friends, between any relationship. You expect X from this person if you only get Y, or if you expect 10, if you can get 5, then there's 50% of disappointment in your heart. Or if you were thinking you gave 12 to this person and expecting 10 in return, you get 2, then you are saying it's unfair. Well, who is setting all those rules? Actually, I'm setting it up, thinking that person will follow the way exactly I want it to happen. Am I a God? I'm not a God. Even God doesn't have that much expectation. If you read the whole Old Testament a few times, you'll realize that God gave people of Israel 10 commandments, and he was only insisting one. The first one. No other God besides me, okay? I'm your God. Can you believe this? And here the same thing. Cursed are those who turn trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength. And if you read Isaiah and other places, how many times prophets has to say that you made that idol and you consecrate that as your God and you worship that God. How is that possible? You know where that God come from. You made it. But you believe in that God more than, let's say, your true God. So, expectation gap. We expect this much, we get this much. Or, how about if you expect this much and you get this much? It makes you very happy. But if you are to say, then I don't have any expectation from my people, that's not right either. Then you don't have relationship. Your heart goes empty. You have to have expectation. But that expectation has to be somewhat close to be real. Yes, this is the problematic word, real. How do you know it's real? As long as I'm dwelling in my own world in reality, it's real to me, everything that I desire, hope, and expect. Why can't you foolish people understand me and do what I expect? Sounds familiar? I have said it to my son a couple of times and realized, horrible thing. And I didn't want to do it, so I stopped doing it. So, think about it. But that's our limitation too. Now, if you examine that what you like in this world, things that you like, things that you don't like, you know that by science it's been proven up to 60% it's already decided by birth. It's genetic. Genetically engineered that you may not like color red, you may like blue. You may not have a choice on that one, or may. And then there is maybe 20% that's coming with your family background, the way you're born, the community, society. You're born in America, you're born in Korea, you're born in Africa. Based on the culture, tradition, religion you're born, you develop habit of liking this thing, not liking this thing. Habit of valuing this thing, not valuing this thing. Then you become adult. Then you think, everything that you like, you chose it. Not right, really. So why am I saying all this to you when today I titled my message as Hearers and Doers? Kind of interestingly in here, what Jesus is saying is that there is a way to be wise and there's a way to be foolish. And everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man and who built his house on rock. See, God doesn't expect much from us. It's a common sense. You build your house on a rock. You build your relationship on trust. You get trust when you know each other. How do you know each other? Well, you talk to each other. How do you talk to each other? Well, in talking, the better is listening, actually. So you listen to each other. Like, you have 2 ears, 1 mouth. You know that, right? You listen twice more than you talk. Simple principle. It's common sense, isn't it? You listen twice more than you talk. This is a figurative. That means you observe more, you sense more, you see more than you try to project your own ideas on it. Because you already colored a place blue and invite people saying, oh, you can choose your color to play, paint it here, but I like blue. So I already painted it. A lot of times that's what we do. So listening, hearing the words of God, well, we all know that understanding, accepting, acknowledging truth. What is truth then? That's the inner light that illuminates our mind to see us. Socrates was not wrong saying that know yourself is the beginning of the wisdom. More I think about it, these days I like it more. And I repeat what he said a couple of times too. You know, he said, I'm wise because, not because I know a lot, but because you don't know what you don't know, but I know that I do not know. I'm wiser than you guys. That's simple, but quite profound. Making ourselves to do something is hard. As I was saying in the beginning, that 60% of what you like, what you may not like, may be genetic. Meaning, it's already decided in your body, in your system, that you just can't help but you like this one. You may not like that. And there's also things that you identify as yours. It's my nation, my culture, my religion, my sports team, my game. You know, important word here is my. So these are what we all identify. And then there are others. So what is in this principle that God really tries to tell us by saying that, listen to my words. What is the foundation on which we build our house? Classic, but it's love. It is love. In love, with love, you can do amazing things. The power in love is almost undoubtable, very clear. Again, it is true love. It's very saddens my heart to classify saying love and then have to attach true to it. Because there are loves that are not really true. There are loves that are very selfish. Once I was talking to my son something about it, and I realized I'm forcing him to understand my principles to 6 years old. Doesn't make any sense. I stopped. And I had to go into my own self-examination why I was doing it. But, well, I thought it was my love for him. But it was not my love for him. It was my love for me to have a beautiful son who understands what I'm saying. It had almost nothing to do with who my son really was. It was my expectation, projection, assumption of who my son should be. And when he was not matching that, I was in trouble. Now realizing that was almost enlightening. Very hard that you love. You have love. In the name of love, we do many, many things. But at the same time, when we're doing these things, are we sure that we're doing it for that person? Or am I doing it because I want to satisfy my heart? To say to me that I'm such a good person, I do loving actions, so I do. Why can't you accept it? Light from God illuminates, shines your mind, and shows you where you are. There's a condition. You have to hear it. It's not automatic thing. You have to actually open your ears and hear it. Like in Revelation, God, Jesus is saying, I am standing at the door knocking and calling. If you hear my voice, come and open the door. I'll come in and dine with you. You have to open your ears by yourself. Then you will ask, how can I do that? How can I do that? Practice, in a way, is quite simple. Pray. Not like praying like formats or try to use nice words or fancy words. Imagine that God is your best buddy. Or your grandpa, I don't know. To me, God is my grandpa. And I can talk to him anything and everything at any moment. And talk to God. Make it your habit. And if it allows you, read this book. There's much inspiration to learn in this book. And third is, when something's not right, try not to accuse others, but try to see why you see that is not right. Before words go out of your mouth, accusing others, try to see to yourself why you're thinking that's not right. Very important. It saved me a couple of times. Hold, think, oh, expectation gap. Oh, my assumption. Oh, my projection on you. I did it a couple of times to my wife, too. Yeah, didn't go well. So, my blessings to you all in your journey, continuous journey, getting closer to God and having a life of love with full satisfaction and joy. Amen.